Good morning, everyone. Look who it is back again. That's right. Gorgeous is back. James Maslow. You'll see all the fanboys and girls showing up to see the unbelievable talent that he is. A great actor, a great entrepreneur. He's a fairly good singer, I heard, as well. A musician.
Decent. I get by. I get decent. By.
Well, I have to give props because our guest obviously is next level, and we are blessed to have him. I'm sure you may have run into him in the past, but I've been blessed to be around him a few times. And it's not just his talent that elevated my awareness to how special this person is. But as you and I speak, James, he has an incredible frequency. He has an intention, a definiteness of purpose, a peaceful ease about him to be of service and of value to change the world. And whether it be his lyrics, his vibration, his frequency, his music, but his own aura, when you're around him, it changes the energy in a room, kind of like you. So I think this is going to be a special episode of the Celebrity Entrepreneur Show. So James, thanks for joining me, brother. And I'm super excited to bring our guest on.
David Meltzer, as always, thank you for such an extraordinary introduction. And I know who the guest is today, and I'm extremely excited to have him on. I echo everything you've said. I've been a fan for quite some time. He has such an amazing, soulful, beautiful voice. To even be compared is an honor, and I wouldn't compare myself. He is a step above the rest. So I am excited to bring him on. I'll let you make the official introduction.
All right. Well, if you wonder who we're talking about, it's the incredible Aloe Black is here in the House of Celebrity Entrepreneur Show. How are you doing, my friend?
I'm great. Thank you. How are you guys?
Amazing.
Man. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, thanks for taking the time.
Thanks for having me.
So valuable, your time. You know, you have so many different stories of synchronicity. I thought we'd start in that channel, in that flow of how synchronicity has impacted your personal and professional career.
Oh, wow. I think there are a few different stories of synchronicity. One, I think that's the most important is having been laid off by corporate America, right? And in that time, also having had already completed my 10,000 hours in music. So the idea that I was going down the path that any parent would want for their kid, go to college, get a job, and live the American dream, was working for the most part. And in a reduction of force, I lost my American dream. But if not for the hobby that I'd had during high school and college, I guess I wouldn't be in the shoes I am today, which is singer and a songwriter, being able to share my heart, my humanity, my thoughts with the world, and to spread, you know, more joy and happiness.
That's awesome. I'm sure that you've heard a similar version of this question 1,000 times, but I ask because you just referred to it as a hobby. What really got you excited and interested in music in the first place? Like, what's your first memory of going, I really enjoy this. Let me practice this. Let me learn this.
So it was a very communal engagement and activity. I would say I was between 4 and 5 years old. My dad was a United States Marine, and we lived on one of the Marine Corps bases here in Southern California. And the other Marines' kids would be out on the sidewalk with cardboard breakdancing to hip-hop music. And because I saw them having fun dancing, I wanted to go out and dance with them. So I joined them. And for the next couple of years while we lived on that base, I was part of their crew, quote-unquote. Lots of older kids, but I was the little one that they would look out for. And we'd listen to music, and we'd dance and backspin and do all kinds of stuff on cardboard. And that was my real first true relationship with music, but not just music. It was in community. And I think that's really, really important, the idea that I experienced music in a profound way in community. It was not a solo or insular event, right?
That's awesome. Sorry, go ahead, David.
Yeah, no, you know, it's so interesting. You know, I know a lot of people like James who also grew up in Southern California. the SCPA, which you're probably familiar with, Aldo, and, you know, had an intention in his entire career to be an entertainer and develop 10,000 hours of music and dancing and acting and all the things that he's put his time into. What's so interesting is that you were able to, quote unquote, have a normal trajectory, going to high school, going to college, getting a corporate job, but you found the time to put your 10,000 hours in as well, or more. And I find in the corporate world, in the entrepreneur world, one of the greatest conflicts that people have, and they'll look at my career even, or James, what he's doing, the multitudes of different intentions, how do you have the time? And at a very young age, you found the time to create and develop the skills, knowledge, and the desire to be at the highest level in the entertainment world while you still went to college, got good grades, had a normal social life. In fact, you told me a story about running into one of your college buddies when you were trying to run into, you know, Bono or somebody. I thought that was fascinating that most of the guys, you know, they start young like James and they don't have a normal high school, college career. What was it when you were young that allowed you to have this relationship to time to have it all?
You really do have to trade a lot when you're focusing on something. And I did not engage in sports after a certain time. I did sports my freshman year in high school, and then after that, it was purely music, right? I didn't do video games. I didn't go get high. So a lot of my time.
I thought that helped with music, by the way, getting high. That doesn't.
I strongly disagree.
I'm kidding.
Oh, it's so.
I do like that one.
You know, there are folks that do, and of course, there are people in my.
I'm speaking of Little John. That's my only point of reference. I hung out with Little John for 10 years. So
some people claim it makes them more creative, and to them, fantastic. I think that if you're only creative when you're on a substance, then you're probably not that creative.
Oh, nice.
Well, you know, I also would say that it's great if it does make you more creative, more power to you. But are you missing out on the business side? Because nothing moves in music without business. You have to have some sort of acumen, or someone has to trust you enough to invest in you. And, you know, to a certain extent, I would say that you could be, you know, slowing your progress if you're not able to process the business side of things while you're also being so great at creating, you know, your art.
Eloquent way to put it. You know, people speak about right brain, left brain, and a lot of artists get more of the creative side. And oftentimes, I think to your point, maybe don't develop or aren't taught or simply don't have interest in the business side. But the music business, that's the second part. It's half of the expression. And it's extremely important because without figuring out the fundamentals, without understanding, like, how do I actually make money doing this? How do I save money doing this? All the things that are necessary for longevity, you might be the greatest artist and musician in the world. But if you can't pay your bills, you're not going to be able to get to do it. And the world's not going to get to hear that gift. If you can't keep it going, there will be no longevity with it, despite how amazing and naturally talented you might be. So I love that you pointed that out, because I see it all the time. I see it amongst peers. I see it people, the music industry, the acting industry, you know, even sports, you know, that they're so, so good at something and might even hit it and make a lot of money. And that's amazing. But how do you have that longevity? And you can speak from such a unique perspective, having done this for quite a while and are still doing it, coming from the corporate world, which is so unique. And I want to ask you a little bit more about that. Unlike people like myself that didn't, I had a dream as a young kid, similar to you. I was playing sports. And when I went to David referenced SCPA, the San Diego School of Creative and Performing Arts, they didn't have sports. So it literally forced me to go, well, I guess I don't have to spend time doing that anymore. Now I'm in jazz, tap, and ballet, because that's my curriculum in musical theater, which I was majoring in, and in vocal class. And it allowed me, almost forced me to have that more narrow focus. And I'm grateful for that. But it was mentors in my life, you know, people before David, but much like David, that came to me and said, hey, you need to learn a little bit more than just being a good artist. Be the greatest artist in the world, but nobody will hear you and nobody will see you if you can't figure out how to make it a business. So what would be your best advice? Someone who has seen corporate America and then has made an amazing career as an artist, and continue to have an amazing career as an artist, to a young artist that is, let's say, already naturally talented, already putting in the work, they play, they sing, whatever it is they're doing it well. But what is an additional skill set, whether it be a book or something tangible, that you could suggest that a young artist should learn so that they have a better chance of making it in the music industry?
I think really to answer your question as specifically as possible, I would say marketing. Understand today's methods of marketing. Ultimately, you can make great art, but you have to be sure that people experience that art. And there are ways nowadays with the technology that we have to make it available to everyone, but that doesn't necessarily mean that everyone will be able to consume it, will ever receive it in their algorithm. So that would be the paramount response to your question. But really what's in my heart is, to get metaphysical, I would say there are other forces that are potentially driving whether or not you will be successful. And so if you are engaging with intention and you have the intention and you're living in the reality of where you want to be, then ultimately you will get there. It may not be the path that you particularly have envisioned for yourself, but you will get there. And it has to be an intention that is for the greater good of mankind, of humanity. If it's just all about you and what you want, I feel like there will be diminishing returns. And it's, even if you do achieve financial success, there's going to be a big trade-off where something else is not going to be perfect. Mm-hmm. Family life, your personal mental health. So I would say, to answer your question, number one, marketing, if we just want to get to the punch. But really, I believe intention is way more important. And if you're doing it for the reason of making the world a better place, then that ultimately the universe will hear you, will accept you, and will allow for your voice to be broadly recognized and accepted.
It's beautiful, and I could not agree more.
It's so interesting when you're broadly recognized today, because the rarity is the broadly known as the Beatles were known, U2 was known. And the reason is, as we create virtually content and we have our YouTube channels, our fast channels, it will not get you to that world renowned status unless you get out there in tour. And people ask me all the time, I can't believe how successful James still is, like how unbelievably known he is, truly around the world. How many 100 dates?
But we've got about 100 dates on this world tour, the In Real Life tour with my band Big Time Rush. Real blessing. Right. About a third of the way through right now. We go to Europe in about 6 weeks.
But you need to do that today, because if you're just on YouTube or even just on TV, the major stations or whatever it is, you're stuck in a social silo and become your own algorithm, and you keep feeding the same audience, but there will be no new audience. The only new audience would be what is truly highly expensive in the marketing world today, which is buying time or buying ad space, and ad attention. But in order, in my opinion, whether you're a speaker like myself or artists, truly talented people like you, I believe it's truly important to travel. You have to get on stages. The bigger the stages, the bigger the people, the more social silos that you can be world renowned still, but you can't do it without being in person. What do you feel about that, Allo? Am I off as far as artists go, or do you have to?
I would certainly, as far as music artists go, I'm going to push back only because I've seen and experienced in the past, decade, this transformation of music and film artists being the most popular celebrities to folks who just sit on camera and watch other people do things, becoming the most popular celebrities.
What an interesting world to live in.
We live in a world where voyeurs are the ultimate celebrity, right? These, they call them, social media influencers, But ultimately, all they do is watch other people do things. And then there are the social media influencers who create spectacle. It's the purple cow concept, the salacious or do something, you know, really eye-catching and controversial. Any of these folks could turn around tomorrow and start making music, and they would be huge. A lot of these folks are being getting requests for guest appearances in TV shows and spots in films. It's a whole new world. So do you have to be out on the road pounding the pavement? There may be another way that's possible. And it's because there are new channels that are available and a new palette, let's say, from the consumer that is amenable to different kinds of communication just to build affinity. And then from there, you can basically bring any content that you want, whether it be acting, music, art, dance. So I would say the old ways of being out on the road are still very important. You've got to touch your fan base in a deep and meaningful way and being in proximity with them face to face, breathing the same air. That's certainly one way. I'm not convinced it's the only way going forward.
I think you were right, but I do think it's a bit of a double-edged sword here, right? It comes down to putting asses in seats, right? If you build a fan base, you can put asses in seats, you know, old terminology of putting people in movie theater seats to sell a movie. You can be in a movie, you can put out music, you can start a clothing line because you have an audience. So that really goes back to your first point, which is marketing, right? You develop that audience, you can market whatever you want to them. But the flip side of that is if you haven't developed any tangible skill set, if you are a vlogger or a streamer or something where you've just sat back in your bedroom for the last 2 or 3 years and now you've accumulated a massive fan base, but you don't know what to do next, there may lie a problem. And I'll go specific onto music artists. There have been many artists that big labels invest a lot of money into because they've had one viral hit. But if they can't recreate it, because they got lucky, they didn't know how they produced it in the first place, they can't do it live, so you can't put them on tour, you start to see where there become problems. So that isn't repeatable and thus not sustainable. So it's much, much easier now to get that 15 minutes of fame, so to speak, by doing whatever. And to your point, the world loves it. You know, we all sit there and consume Purple Cow content or the next viral, whatever it might be, hit that we might have called cringy 5 or 10 years ago, but now we accept because, hey, it's catchy and it's new and whatever. But if you really want to be a music artist, and this could apply to acting and all the other things as well, but for the sake of focus here, you really want to be a music artist, it is still quite helpful to go out and learn how to play shows. In fact, dare I say, I do still think that it's necessary. Now, there might be mediums in the near future, as you're getting at, where you could just do it from your bedroom, just do virtual, just auto-tune everything, AI is changing the world. My producer the other day in a session, sidebar, created a song in 15 minutes that was mixed and mastered with a vocalist on it, and I dare say it was pretty damn good. Wow. So it's rapidly changing. But to the crux of what we're saying, it is still imperative to learn more of a skill as you're developing the audience, and I don't think it matters how you develop the audience. So learn more of a skill when it comes to performing live. And I think that there's a second part to this that you touched on, which is that humanity. There's no better way to understand your fans and the rest of the world and this crazy rock we live on, you know, the humanity present with us on this rock, than going out and seeing it and seeing different cultures and different people and different fans and seeing the world. So while it may not be necessary, oh my God, it gives you a whole lot more perspective and it gives you a ton more to write about too.
Right on.
Yeah, and I think Aloe agreed with that. And I definitely appreciate the idea that keep your mind open because we don't know what's coming. James, I invested with Howie Mandel and Proto, which is the holographic technology of being able to be on the road. But all three of us, I believe, understand the frequency of proximity and the value of experiential life as it exists in the human experience. And I would suggest everyone to keep an open mind and to try things. But don't forget the past. And I gave a speech yesterday down in San Diego, and I talked about Warren Moon. Somebody asked me what athlete that I worked with best represented these values that I am hopefully empowering, impacting people to understand. Simple values like gratitude and forgiveness and accountability, effective communication, to appreciate our differences, which I, you know, on my pedestal every day, trying to unite the world as by finding people like you two to carry on a true humanistic attitude of unification and goodness and love and all the things that we believe in is our mission. But I was so surprised, you know, people came up to me afterwards. One, they didn't know who Warren Moon was. Two, most of them that were Warren Moon fans did not know. They didn't let him play in the NFL for 6 years, that he had to play in Canada. And they didn't know he's the only Black quarterback still in the Hall of Fame. They didn't know what he did as the Jackie Robinson of the NFL. And even when he was the highest paid player in the NFL, even when he won the NFL Man of the Year, what he considers to be his highest honor of playing football for his humanitarian efforts, like Roberto Clemente, like Jackie Robinson, he still had his own culture and his own people call him an Uncle Tom, still hated on the other side. And so I think it's really important to share your music around the world and to do it in proximity, whether or not it makes you more money. I would argue today, absolutely. And I would encourage everyone to keep an open mind, because time, emotion, and value changes immediately today. So I always tell people when they have an idea or they to appreciate the difference, I'll say, if I'm not in agreement today, not at this time, or I can't help you today, not at this time, or I don't want to do it today, it's always not at this time, because shit changes fast. And it may be tomorrow that I'm calling you back going, hey, remember when I said not at this time? The time is now. Let's make it happen. So we are blessed. I just thought maybe because I have and admire both of you so much, I do a thing, Allo, at every show, because I want people to have a takeaway. You know, a lot of times we listen, we get entertained, but we don't learn something that we can use moving forward. So I was hoping maybe you'd stay on for a couple more minutes as we go with the takeaway of the day. I'll let James lead off, and maybe you can give me your takeaway from this conversation after James. Is that fair?
Oh, for sure.
Thank you so much. James, it's all yours.
I could dissect this with so many takeaways. First off, Allo, your perspective is human and kind and encouraging, and I can't thank you enough for that. I'm getting chills saying that out loud, and it is so clear to me why you are where you are. You're leading with intention, and such a positive intention at that. And my takeaway, I'll put it in a little bit more of a lighthearted perspective to any aspiring artists out there, which is intention being incredibly important. A lot of people also ask me about luck, and luck is one hell of a catalyst. But the longer you stay at it, the better chance you have of getting lucky. And I think that circles right back to intention as well. But my takeaway is truly tenacity. Hold on to that dream and have a purpose for why you're doing it that's bigger than you.
Love it. Allo, what do you got?
Community, I'd say. You know, part of this conversation was really about whether it is necessary to be out in proximity or can you do it from home. And, you know, I pushed against having to be out there, but I started off this conversation talking about community. That's how I got into experiencing music. So, you know, as an artist or in anything that you're doing, really, from business to play with other humans, you know, and in some cases, there will be things that you can only do by yourself because you're the only one who can. But I encourage people to team up, find good team members who can work with you and build community around what you do.
I just have to tell you guys before I get my takeaway how much I admire your wisdom at such a young age and also your faith. And for me, my takeaway is about that community and where you exist in a frequency, a neighborhood of people that want to help each other, know people that help each other, people who buy from us and sell for us for life. That's how you build a community and actually monetize it, since this is an entrepreneur show of celebrities. But my takeaway is truly aligned and illustrated by your skills and your knowledge, but enhanced by the differentiator. Because a lot of people have the skills and knowledge, but they don't have the desire that they must be what they can be. And looking back on both of your careers, which are just starting, being the old man of, you know, the middle-aged mutant turtle, I'll call myself, I am so excited about our future, to think that the skills and knowledge of the next generation leaders, you guys, not only have exceeded my expectations, but the desire that people always, as generations get older, look down on and talk about how easy you have it and how entitled you are. Look, I will tell you, these two gentlemen, they're the hardest working people in the business, and there's no getting away from desire. So I appreciate you putting your definiteness of purpose, your intention and your desire to the betterment of the community, meaning humanity as a community. And like I said, our bench is deep. If you don't believe me, look at these two future leaders, Alla Black, James Maslow. Thank you so much for joining us. This is the Celebrity Entrepreneur Show with James Maslow. And we'll see you next week. Thank you both.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, man. David, appreciate you, brother.
God bless both of you. Take care.